You heard it right there. Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in here. Part of the drive at El Patio. What's up, boys?
Holy freaking moly.
More or less than you thought it would be?
This is crazy, man.
I mean, my expectations for opening day in Denver are about as high as you can get. It's a holiday. The first thing I did in Denver when I moved here in 2017, got hired, and it was like 10 days later was opening day. So it was like baptism for me at the time. Like, oh, my God, this is.
Which is crazy because it's not even considered opening day. It's the first. It's the home opener.
Yeah, it's a home opener. But it just comes with its own energy. This is crazy. I mean, and I know you guys have been relaying the vibe here at El Patio. If you are anywhere close to Lodo, come to El Patio. I mean, it is going to take a rare.
Can they even get in, Zach? They might not even be able to get in by now.
They can get in. They can get in. There's still room. Self-control, fellas. That is the phrase of the day.
Yeah.
On multiple fronts.
Yes.
Okay?
You know what, Zach?
This is wild.
This is fun.
Did you guys have fun today?
It was awesome.
We had a great time.
It was a little bit of a slow start. The vibe started picking up. We've seen, like a dance-off between a couple of bros. We've seen some people need help to the bathroom. So it's really starting to pick up here to what an opening day actually is.
Well, hopefully we don't see nobody throwing up everywhere.
You will.
And if they do it by Zach.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And real quick, we saw the best jersey. It was here for Dinger. Here for Dinger, double zero.
No. I tweeted it out. You go check out my
because,
oh, my
gosh. As we pointed out, the lack of star power on this team. You got Charlie Blackman. And then who else, at least in terms of household names?
So now they're going for the mascots. The mascots the biggest thing we have.
If you're here for Dinger, and I told Josh Dover, our old friend Benjamin Hockman, columnist in this town for a long time for the Denver Post, described Dinger as Barney on meth. So we are here for Dinger. You know, it's a tough day to be here for Dinger.
Hey, there could be some tweakers around here, too.
All right. Oh, we might see the mascot.
It might be the mascot.
But I'll tell you this, obviously, and you guys have, I'm sure, talked about it. You know, the Rockies, there's a lot of negative energy around the Rockies right now.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot of negative energy. But, man, you guys, I'm reading this story about Oakland. That was a heritage franchise in Major League Baseball, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Like, World Series, plural. I believe it's four. Four World Series. Oakland Athletics in Oakland. If you would have told someone 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that one day the Oakland Athletics will no longer be in Oakland.
How many people are even showing up to that game? Like 3,000?
3,000. Yeah. Well, at this point, they already know that they're leaving, so the fans are so upset they're not coming. But in the heyday, Oakland Athletics baseball was as good as any product that was out there. They're going to lose their team, guys. And I know this sucks, all right? And I'm not here to put lipstick on a pig for 4 hours, but I know for me, I'm going to stay positive with the Rockies today for the most part.
How could you not? Look at the environment.
And I'm just like, we talk about Coors Field being the franchise player. Well, guess what? At least we have Coors Field.
Yes.
At least we get to come and watch pro baseball. At least we get to have days like this. Because if you're in Oakland and you do this job, if you do this job in Oakland, you're getting a team ripped from you. You're getting content every day ripped from you. If you're a fan like my son can't wait to come back to Coors. He's already talking to me about it. And you don't get that in Oakland anymore. So I know there's a lot of negativity around the Rockies, rightfully so, but on a day like today, I'm just choosing to be appreciative.
And I think that's the biggest part of it. I'm not going to stop going either. And I don't even have kids. But, if you have kids and that kid loves baseball, don't boycott because of the team sucks.
Right.
Bring your kid and teach him what baseball is and what it means to go to a ballpark.
Yeah.
It's for little Johnny, little Susie. Get down here and enjoy some family time at the ballpark. I told Rachel earlier, you give me 30,000 signatures and say all those people are going to protest, I'll put my name on it. Until then, I'm going to enjoy 20th and Blake because it's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
We need to get Dick Mumford over here so we can see everything that's going on for a team that's not good right now. Imagine if the Rockies are good.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine if the Rockies are good. What's going on?
And actually, I want to ask you guys this question, and especially Will. And Josh, when did you move here? Because you're from the Indiana area, right?
Yeah, I moved here in 1994.
Okay, so you've been here basically your whole life.
My whole life. I'm 39. I've been here for 30 years.
I was born, huh?
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this, because me and Phil were in the backseat of a Cadillac Escalade riding down here with the car service with the name. With the name.
And mine too. I'm
like, does that guy have my name outside of Cadillac Escalade?
We have peppermint. We have refreshments. Like,
was it
what
Jack?
Are you doing?
Was it Jack?
Yeah, what's up, Jack?
And then when I got in, they're like, you're not Brandon Stokes.
Oh, that was not the police.
Yeah. Well, so they did a great job and took care of us with the car service stuff. But me and Phil were talking on the way down, and I want to ask you guys this question. Because I dove head first into Denver sports more than 7 years ago, but I can't replicate what you guys have, and that's roots that are so much further in the ground here. Say all four teams in Denver sports are good.
Woo-wee!
Say all four teams in Denver sports are good.
Don't do it to them,
Zach. Broncos are competing for a Super Bowl. The Nuggets and Avs are doing what they're doing currently. And the Rockies are doing what they did in 2007. Or what we thought they were going to do in 2019.
Yeah.
Where the late, great Pedro Gomez, rest in peace, was predicting them to go to the World Series. What is the hierarchy if everyone's good at the same time?
Ah, it's such a tough question.
That is a great question.
And we're going to insult one fan base.
I know, and it's going and it's uncomfortable. And whoever is their favorite Avs or Rockies, when like you're going to insult them, or not insult them, but they're going to feel a type of way. But I'm curious, given your guys' historical context, how would you slot it?
Yeah, the Broncos are obviously one. Even close. This is just me personally, and I'm not trying to hurt any basketball fans' feelings.
Here we go.
The Avalanche would be two, the Rockies would be three, and the Nuggets would be four.
Avalanche two?
The Avalanche with their three cups, yeah. Okay. The Rockies need to win a title before they pass the Avalanche in terms of interest and all that. Because 50,000, even if they're good, 20,000 are still there for the party, 30,000 there for the baseball. We're not acting like all 50,000 are there locked in on every pitch. The order is Broncos, Avalanche, Rockies, Nuggets.
Dover, you disagree?
I do. I would go, I'm also a basketball guy, but I would go Broncos, Rockies, Nuggets, Avalanche. And Broncos for obvious reasons. The Rockies, a big part of that is people would buy in, and they're accessible. There's so many games. You get 81 opportunities to bring your kids down here. Come with your buddies. Bring your girl. It's just more opportunities to fall in love with the team. Basketball, I'm biased a little bit, so I'm putting it third. But with what the Nuggets have done and built, we now have smart basketball fans in the city. And as good as the Avs are and have the history of three cups, here we go. You guys are going to get hockey guy hitting you up. It's still hockey. It's still hockey, and it's still the fourth biggest sport in the world.
And that's what we were talking about on the way down. He said, if you look at national interest, you guys know how many people watched the Stanley Cup last year?
Like 8 million?
No, it's like 4.5.
Oh, 4 million.
Okay. The World Series did 8.5, and that was the lowest it had been. It's declined every single year since 2016. So last year was the lowest rated World Series of our lifetime, and it doubled the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
But you didn't ask me to rank nationally. You said locally.
I did. But I just wanted to give credence to his list. But to your list, you said Broncos. And again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about if all teams in Denver sports are good at the same time, what would the hierarchy be of interest? You had Broncos number one.
Avalanche, Rockies, Nuggets.
Avalanche number two.
Yeah.
And then Rockies number three. Wow. What about, because everyone that lived here talked about 2007 in October.
Yeah.
That was like a fever pitch of Denver sports.
But it was for a month. If you asked the average bro in July who's Matt Holliday, they'd go, I don't know. They would have only known Todd Helton. They wouldn't have known Garrett Atkins, Brad Hopp. Those are guys we all fell in love with during October.
See, I don't know if I can agree with you on that. Now, this is such a baseball state, truly, truly, Will. If the Rockies could ever be good consistently, this place would be off the chart. And people would know these players a little bit more.
Yeah.
But because it's the Rockies, that's why we don't know their names.
I was a senior in high school, or going into it, my dad and I would go to games and sit in the first row for $6 two months before Rocktober. Let's not romanticize 2007 that they had 50,000 every night. Todd Helton's walk-off against Takashi Saito, you know the most famous one that propelled Rocktober?
Yeah.
Go look at the crowd. There's about 12,000 people there.
Wow.
And then they won 21 of their next 22.
Wow.
And then you get a ticket in town.
And then you have people going to the World Series who are like, who's this Todd Helton guy? You know, like, it was an ultimate bandwagon thing. Let's be careful.
I like the conversation. Unfortunately, it's not relevant right now for the two reasons
The Broncos.
The Broncos aren't good.
Rockies. Yeah.
Now, the Broncos carry an extra weight that the Rockies simply don't have. It's NFL football. And yep. NFL football sits on the crown of on the throne of American sports with no one else in sight. Today, what's that movie when they say, it's like, we'll always have Paris?
I don't know.
What are you talking about? It's like an all-time movie.
We'll always have Paris?
Yeah. It's like Casablanca. And it's like.
I thought that was Here's Looking at You, Kid.
That might have been. But it's like. It's like you. We always have today.
Okay.
We have today. And as long as the Rockies play Major League Baseball at Coors Field, opening day in Denver is one of the most lit days of any year. You could put this up against, honestly, you could put today up against Parade Day.
We've been asking even people like in different states, like how is it for them on the opening day, a home opener? Nothing like this.
And to what I just said, you could put this up against Parade Day, and not in terms of a celebration by any means, but this is kind of a celebration, is it not?
Yeah, it's a celebration of our city.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not a celebration of sports or the baseball team.
Yes.
It's a celebration of our city.
Yes, yes.
And we're like entering spring. That's what it is.
It does feel like that too, right? It's like the first day in college when you go and you're playing beer pong outside. And it's just like, yo, spring semester has arrived.
Yeah. The smell in the air, right?
Yes.
That sweet smell.
Yes.
Blue sky.
There's actually that same smell around here right now.
Yeah, mixed with some weed.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. We're off and rolling, guys. Thanks so much for staying through staying through that first segment there, doing a little overtime. The environment in Lower Downtown is as unique as anything you will find all year. And come say hello. Come say hello if you are anywhere near Lodo, 2 to 6 p.m. We're at El Patio. I put this environment up against anything going on in this entire region right now. But what wasn't happening in our region is what happened last night in Los Angeles. And a absence, Jamal Murray, has doubt and maybe even some fear creeping in with just 6 games left in the season. That's where we'll start coming up next.
Yeah, man. So we back in the club with the bodies rocking from side to side.
All right, we are live at El Patio, Denver, right across the street from Coors Field in one of the most unique environments of the entire year.
Yes.
And how you doing today, Mr. Philip Lindsay?
Man, I am great. Shout out to Hermes Limo because they got us here safe.
Yes, they did.
Sound. Shout out to Jack. Jack retired. You know, he's driving us around. Great man. He told us a couple pointers about trying to get the houses in order. I'm doing great. How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing so good. I actually couldn't be doing better. Outside maybe having a beer, which I'll have here in a few hours.
Yeah.
Really excited about today. It's so unique. We've met already so many listeners here within the last hour. Yeah. And, man, if you ever want to say what's up or grab a picture or have Phil sign something, we're going to be here for the next 4 hours. And, man, with no disrespect to the Mark Schlereth and Brandon Stokely's of the world, I've never seen one of our hosts get more love than Philip Lindsay. And it's been fun to watch our listeners connect with you, knowing that you're going to be here, and just the pictures and all the stuff.
Look, you're trying not to put yourself in there. I've seen you over there taking a bunch of pictures. People are starting to see your face. I had a young man here say, "That's Zach Bond." They didn't know that you were tall and ugly, but now they see you.
That is a kind of right. They're like, "You are kind of tall."
Yeah. No. They, everybody's sitting here. They finally get to see Zach Bond at times. Like, "You're a good-looking man, 6'6".
it's a beautiful day. The sun, when I checked the weather yesterday, wasn't supposed to come out.
Yeah.
The sun is out. It's like 75 degrees. They got the DJ here, and it's just been fantastic. But we'll shift gears here because, you know, Jamal Murray again did not play last night against the Los Angeles Clippers in a game where the Nuggets barely lose 102-100. That's a game that they win with Jamal, obviously. And I don't know, man. I'm going to ask the same question I asked this time last Friday when we found out Jamal wasn't going to play again. And it's, what is your concern level out of 10? Now he is, it's being whispered, we might see him this weekend.
Yeah.
But your concern level out of 10, A one, you're asleep in bed. Two, it's fire alarms.
Look, I'm going, so we're only going to go to one, two? Because two is fire alarms. Then what is seven?
No. 10 is fire alarms.
Oh, 10, okay. Yeah. I'm still going to go with a 7.5, okay. Zach. 7.5. We have not seen Jamal in quite some time. On top of that, he's going to have to try to get back into shape.
Yep.
And we don't know how serious his injuries are. We don't even know what injury it is.
No.
Is it his knee?
Yeah.
Is it his ankle?
And apparently, the inflammation of the knee, but, you know, there's a lot of mystery involved with it.
And on top of that, Zach, we don't know how he's going to be when he gets back. Does he tweak something? Does he, you know, have a step back? I'm kind of nervous because we haven't seen him for so long. Obviously, it's more serious than people are letting it on to be.
Yeah.
Where's your level at?
It's about a six.
Okay.
It's about a six.
That's
where
that's more than last time.
It was. It was five last time.
Yep.
And I'm now officially worried about any setback. Because if you don't play basketball for as long as now Jamal hasn't in the middle of this season, we haven't seen Jamal since March 21st. All right. Mm. We're approaching the end of the first week of April, and you just can't tell me this is regular. You can't tell me this is just maintenance. You can't tell me this is load management. There's something going on here, and to be completely dismissive of it, I don't think is being a reflection of the actual situation. And I'm worried now about him coming back and something else happening, because we are one setback away of not knowing if this team's going to get out of the first round or not.
One setback away, yeah. You're right, Zach. Watching that game yesterday, it showed us how much we need Jamal Murray. And if Jamal is not there, it's going to be hard to win. If KCP is not there, it's going to be hard to win. Look what our bench did. And we've been talking about the bench
for
2 weeks now. That was horrendous.
It was really bad.
That made me mad, man.
Yeah, last night it was as pathetic of a bench performance that you're going to find. I mean, that first half, that first bench stint was pathetic. And there's no other way to put it. It's concerning. And here's the thing. When we talk about, like, how important, the bench minutes are, and even though they're going to play less in the postseason, we know that. But in a game like last night where you lose by two, to think that 8 minutes of bench time in any game can't cost you a game, and to think that any game can't cost you a series, if we're already talking about this being longer series this time around, this is very much on my radar as much as anything else in Denver sports right now.
Going into halftime, the Clippers bench had 21 points.
Correct.
We had zero.
Correct. Think
we
about
had
that.
Zero.
21-0.
Okay, you have Peyton Watson coming off the bench. Christian Brown had a play.
Yep.
Right? Reggie Jackson is playing.
Yep.
And we're not getting what we need out of that bench for us to win these games. We cannot keep relying on Jokic to throw up a three, which it almost went in.
It almost did, yeah.
For another game winner.
Yeah, yeah. Although I will tell you, man, the process at the end of that game, I had a lot of problems with. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but, like, dude, they and Malone got himself thrown out because of an MPJ miscall. He blew his top. But so David Adelman, who's getting other interviews right now, is coaching the end of that game. They need to get that basketball across midcourt and then call the timeout.
Yeah.
So you're not trying to advance it from, you know, a farther back.
Taking up seconds.
Yes. Yeah. You're honestly, you know, you wasted time there, 3 or 4 seconds, whatever it was. And then the shot from Jokic, I didn't love it, man. As great as Jokic was last night, I think he's trying to get to his spot there that he hit against the Warriors.
Yeah.
We saw, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. I thought.
Well, he got rushed, Zach. You said it. If they would have came down the court, called timeout, kind of got their stuff together, got set up how they want to get set up, things would have looked better. But Jokic kind of ran out of time, got to his sweet spot where he felt like he could do some damage.
Yeah.
Almost did.
Almost did. He was just so much on the move. It's just such a hard shot.
It was an ugly shot.
Man, I thought they could get a better one there. But that's where you're also missing Jamal, too.
Yes.
In that singular moment as well. Not a perfect night by any means. And believe it or not, one point, and I know you know this, but this was a Nuggets team that was up 17 points in the first half.
They were looking sharp.
Yes, they were, man. And it was like, how do these things all exist within the same game? A flawed process at the end and a net bench unit being up 17, but also coming back down from double figures in the second half. It was just like, wow, this is.
And I know some people, and sorry for cutting you off, I know some people are going to say, well, we didn't have Jamal. But they didn't have Kawhi either.
Correct.
So what's that say?
Correct. Correct. Yes. Yes. A note from the game, Jokic did pass 14,000 points for his career. He went 36 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. Somehow he continues to make the miraculous mundane, and that is the 129th career triple-double. It's the fourth most in NBA history. He's just 9 triple-doubles behind Magic Johnson for 3rd on the all-time list, but what happened last night was unusual because Jokic had a triple-double and the team lost. And that had had a streak of 14 consecutive games in a win when Jokic notched that triple-double. So just a couple notes from that game I wanted to pass along that are noteworthy. Okay, shifting gears here as we're live from El Patio, downtown Denver on opening day. Wait until you hear the wild company Nathan MacKinnon put himself into while in Minnesota. That's coming up next. And yes, we are live from the rooftop at El Patio, Denver, right across the street from Coors Field, in one of the coolest environments that you can ask for. And we are hanging out. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. And I said going into the last break, Mr. Philip Lindsay, wait until you hear the wild company Nathan MacKinnon put himself into in Minnesota. MacKinnon had a goal and 2 assists last night, all right? And in doing so, got to 130 points on the season. Why?
MVP.
Yeah.
MVP.
Yes, 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 yes. The Hart Trophy is on its way to Denver. I mentioned that benchmark because in the last 30 years, all right, that spans a really long time in Denver sports,
yeah,
and just NHL hockey specifically. In the last 30 years, the only players to record a 130-point season, here are their names. Nikita Kucherov, Connor McDavid, Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, and Wayne Gretzky. And now make room for Nathan MacKinnon. Those are the greatest players of this generation.
And how many more games we got left? 6?
I think it's 6 games. Yeah, 6 games left to build when you start, and for me, because I'm growing up watching Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, Gretzky, and hearing MacKinnon's name in that company is it's earned, but it's just cool as a sports fan to know that one of the greatest players of all time.
Ooh.
Of all time.
Put it out there.
Right in the middle of his prime. He's about to bring the MVP to Denver. He's one of the great players of this generation, of any generation, and he plays right here in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much said it all, Zach. When you have a player that dominant here with the Colorado Avalanche, nothing gets better than that. And his mindset is just so locked in, so laser-focused, that he's going to be great for many, many years. And he will go to the Hall of Fame. He will go to the Hall of Fame when his time is up. But right now, we have to enjoy it while we have him here. We have to enjoy this team while this team's still intact. Because we know it's not going to always be like
this. It's not. It's not. And you know, we were talking about the Nuggets last week and saying, hey, these are the good old days.
Yes.
It didn't matter if you're a 75-year-old Nuggets fan and watch every game since the mid to late 70s when they became an NBA team. You've never seen better times than this. With the Avs, it's a little bit different because they do have a rich history.
Yeah.
But you can put this era of Avalanche hockey side by side with some of the great Avalanche teams of all time, especially if they can find a way to win a second Stanley Cup with this era, this iteration of Avalanche hockey. And that'll put him right up there with, like, especially MacKinnon. Like, if he hoists that cup twice, I mean, goodness, Bill.
And has the MVP, because he will have it this year.
Yes, yes. It's just, stuff of legend. It's stuff of legend.
And we have 2 of them in our backyard. That is, like, sometimes I have to sit down and really think. Like, we're watching greatness in front of us. Sometimes we used to have to watch, like, L.A. and some of the other teams that do it. No, it's here in Colorado.
It's here,
the state of Colorado have 2 men that will win the MVP this year, and 2 that are possibly going to hold up another championship.
Yep, and we're going to talk about the likelihood of each and compare and contrast at the top of hour number 2, which I'm really looking forward to. Shout out Jonathan Drouin. I mean, he was fantastic. Pair of goals last night and an assist. Outside of taking a penalty, was really good. He also actually took a goal really off the board from Minnesota on a loose puck in front of Onanen. So you look at this. Oh, and I also got to give another historical shout out, because the Colorado Avalanche are the only club with multiple 40-goal, 100-point players this season, and it's Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen.
No, they're on fire, man. Their superstars are playing at a high level. That top line is playing at a high level.
Yes.
Jonathan Drouin and Nate Dogg, they have that chemistry that they've had for many years, okay, growing up doing this with each other.
Yep.
And it just shows. You're seeing it out there on that ice.
Yeah.
Shout out to Onanen. Bounce back.
Big bounce
between
back.
Between the pipes.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing his thing. We're going to need
career high stops yesterday.
Yes, yes.
44.
Confidence.
Yeah, man.
Confidence, man. He may not be our starter, but we don't know what kind of situation we will be put in the playoffs. Well, we're going to be sitting here, you and I, talking about, hey, maybe Onanen needs to get in the game. I hope that's not the case because Georgiev will be standing on his head.
Right. No, but you're right. But you're right, down the very back stretch of the season to have a nice bounce back performance after a lackluster a previous game where he gave up, I think it was 3 goals in the second period alone in the previous game. He stopped 17 of 18 shots in the second period this time around. So really nice bounce back. And we'll see what happens tonight with Georgie in net against Edmonton, who's just fantastic.
As long as the team has a solid performance all around, I mean, 8 different as players scored a point. You know, that means this game contributed all around.
Yeah.
Everybody is playing their role. Everybody's doing their thing. Georgiev between the pipes, is that something he's going to be tonight? So Georgiev between the pipes tonight, he has a lot on his shoulders tonight because we haven't seen him since his little incident.
Right.
Where he wanted to go into the stands and throw pucks at people. So let's see if he can bounce back. It's his turn to bounce back.
It is. And it'd be nice to string a couple together, have you feeling good about the Avs as they head into the playoffs. By the way, just something else to keep an eye on. We were just talking about MacKinnon at the top of the segment and how he registered his 130th point last night. Last 30 years, only a handful of guys, Nikita Kucherov, Connor McDavid, Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, Wayne Gretzky. And now MacKinnon, he also is on the heels. He's on the skates of Kucherov, who is leading MacKinnon now by just 3 points. And I'm just mentioning that because hockey's got a bunch of awards, like an abnormal amount of awards, like at the end of the year. And actually, the NBA is entering into that because they're giving away a clutch award, and they've already had six man and MVP and whatnot. And they're mixing in a couple others, but. There's the Art Ross Award, which goes to the most points on the season.
Okay.
And MacKinnon trails Nikita Kucherov by just 3 points in that race for the Art Ross Trophy. And you talk about an opportunity to clean up. Now, you don't have to win the Art Ross Trophy to win the Hart Trophy. They're oftentimes separate. But if he can find a way to win that Art Ross Trophy for most points in the NHL and bring home the Hart Trophy, and he's already got a Stanley Cup, I don't know, man. He's
going for a second.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's just he's. I mean, we are watching one of the greatest players of all time right in front of our eyes on a regular basis.
And how can you not love him, man? He's all about business.
Yes, he is.
He's never in the paper for the wrong thing.
No.
He's always holding his teammates accountable.
Yes.
And everybody feeds off of somebody like Nate Dogg. And when you do that, you usually have success.
Yeah. And Phil, just to piggyback on what you just said, when you say, like, holds people accountable, I bet most of the time Nathan MacKinnon doesn't need to say a word. Just as with his actions and his tightly wound presence.
Yeah. Or just looking at him.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a dad, you don't have to say anything.
Yes.
Your kid knows when he messed up.
Yes.
You just look at him.
Yes.
You haven't formed the art of that look yet. You look like you're crying. But for me, I look like a mad pit bull.
As you stare through your 3-year-old son.
Yeah. You have to. That kid's a maniac. I love my son.
But by the way, the Avs are now 5-1 on the road since the trade deadline. So remember those conversations just a couple months ago, how concerned we were with the road and home splits. Now it's like, not that much of an issue here. All right, we're live from Al Patio, Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. We're going to be hanging out here until 6 o'clock if you want to come say hello. And as we shift gears here, I ask the question, should the Denver Broncos look to the Nuggets when it comes to taking a risk with the 12th overall pick in the draft? And I want to bounce off a little analogy with Philip Lindsay coming up next. Hey, however you are getting down today, and thanks for letting us rock with you on maybe the most beautiful day yet of the spring here in Colorado.
This is wild, Zach. This is wild. Zach is a superstar.
Oh, stop it.
That's what you were just doing. Signing autographs, kissing babies.
Gosh.
You were like, Phil, go ahead, do the show.
I love to. You want to know what? You want to know what? You want to know what? I love to feel the love. Who doesn't like feeling the love? And you know what I get reminded of? It's like I worked 10 years to get this job, right? In Albany, New York. And if you told me, as I'm trembling in my car, in my U-Haul, driving across the country, where
not
I knew,
knowing what you're gonna do.
I didn't know anyone in Denver. I didn't know a soul. And my wife was finishing up her teachings, so I was solo.
Yeah.
And if you would have told me at the time, like, hey, someone's gonna wanna take a picture with you. Someone's gonna tell you that they listen every day. Yes. Someone's gonna tell you that when their dad was sick and they're in the hospital every day, they had you on the phone.
Yeah. Like, here, impacting people's lives.
Dude, it's incredible. It's amazing. And
just think about it. When you were a young little kid playing basketball, right? You probably were like, I want to go to the NBA, right? You want to do something different, right? All of a sudden, this falls into your lap. You're good at what you do. Great at what you do. This is a platform for you, and now everybody's saying, this is Zach Byron, one of the most ugliest dudes I've ever seen, but man, he's so good on the radio.
Oh, man, we have fun, you know, and it's cool, man, it's cool. So, shout out, and you know, we like to give shout outs, right?
Yeah, we do.
We can't do it today, because there's so many people.
Yeah.
There's just so many people. So, if you're anywhere near Lodo, and you want to come say hello, just do it. Just come up. We don't bite, okay? All right, should the Denver Broncos, Phil, look to the Nuggets when it comes to taking a risk with the 12th overall pick? And I think you might like my thought process here.
You might be right for once.
Maybe so. So you know J.J. McCarthy's my guy, right?
Yeah.
You got to go to the top of the draft to get him.
Probably number four.
Probably number four, right? Let me just explain what I'm thinking here, and I'm not, like, locked into this, but I just want to talk about what's going through my head with an analogy. And I will warn our listeners, it's not a perfect analogy, okay? It's not a perfect analogy, but I thought it was worth making because I think there's enough here. So we're hearing that if Michael Penix Jr. didn't have his injury history,
yeah,
he would be going in the top four. He would be in the top four.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me the most, is the injury history, not what I saw on game days. I love what I saw on game days outside of one game in the national championship. Once upon a time, Phil, the Nuggets were looking at a would-be top pick, and I mean the number one pick in the draft, in Michael Porter Jr.,
yeah,
who tumbled down the draft to the 14th overall pick. Because of a back injury. He only played 3 games at Missouri. And for the Nuggets, they said, you want to know what? He's not a sure thing. He's not. He's got real history. But at this point in the draft, it's the intersection of being willing to take a risk because he was at 14.
Yep.
And they did take the risk, and it's paid off.
I like it.
Michael Porter Jr., with that 14th overall pick, he's already 5th all-time on the Nuggets made threes with 639 career made threes. His 209 made threes this season is the literal most made threes in any single season in the history of the franchise. Is he a top-tier player in the NBA? No, but he's perfect for this situation. And
last month,
he was great.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't so great last night, so it's maybe not the best day to be making this analogy. But big picture, Michael Porter Jr.,
yeah.
Do you realize he's played as many games as anyone else on the Nuggets? The injury history has not come up because we don't even talk about it, Phil. He has played every freaking game this year, damn near. So I'm just wondering, you're not picking number one overall. You're not picking fourth overall. You're picking at 12. And if the biggest risk with Michael Penix Jr. is the injury, I think there's something to be said looking at the Michael Porter Jr. situation of taking that risk and have the risk of the injury history baked in less than the risk of him not being able to play, because I think he can play.
No, for sure, Zach. Look, I've always said this multiple times. In today's society of what we're doing in sports, the surgeries are the best that they've ever been, okay? On top of that, you're playing a physical sport that you are going to get hurt. No matter what, some point in your life, you will get hurt. I've blown out my knees. I've had meniscus tore. I've blew out my wrist. It just comes with the territory. But guess what? That didn't stop me from continuing to play. Because if you're good at what you do, you're good at what you do. You can be the healthiest you've ever been, get hit by one of these 300-pound linemen, tear something, and now you're considered injury prone because you had an ACL. It just happens. All right, I'm not going to put that past this young man who has been 2 years in college, has been healthy.
Yep.
Has shown us that he's a pure passer.
Yep.
Okay, something that Sean is looking for. Has shown us that he still has the ability to run fast with a 4.4, 4.5.
Yep.
Can still jump out the gym. Very smart. Why would you not take a risk on this? Anything you do in life is taking a risk. And anytime you draft a young man, you are taking that risk. Because just because that man goes number one overall,
right,
does not mean he's going to be good.
No. And look, if two of the four top quarterbacks work out, that'd be a high hit rate.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are not going to work out. It's not going to be, you know, like, because basically what you're telling, Phil, we've never had an NFL draft that went quarterback, 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 quarterback. This is going to be the first year. So by that logic, you're telling me this is one of the greatest quarterback draft classes of all time? Is that right? I just don't believe that.
I don't either.
I don't believe that. And but so if you're not, but even still, if you're not going to be a part of that, I'm going to use the phrase, Phil, the sun's out. I'm thawing out. I'm thawing out today with Michael Penix Jr. because there is risk with everyone. There's risk with drafting a positional player.
Yeah.
We get it in our minds that it's less risky to draft a positional player at 12 than it is at quarterback. Half of the first round isn't going to work out. And I just wonder if, like, if you're telling me Michael Penix Jr. would have went in the top four if he didn't have an injury history and you could get him at 12.
That's an excuse. It's an excuse not to want somebody saying, yeah, you're good, but you're not what I want, so I'm going to use everything I can to make sure I don't get you.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why a lot of people get cut. You go there. I play with the Colts. I was probably the best running back other than Jonathan Taylor. I'm just going to put it out there. I get there, I get cut. The first thing he says was, well, you fell off. How do you fall off when you're out there being more productive than the next person right there? It's because they have nothing else to tell you, but they have to get rid of you. So they find ways to get you out of the door. They find ways to get you to go out because they don't want you anymore.
Yeah.
This is the kind of a situation where you throw it out there that he's injury prone. Yeah, he has had injuries. He is.
Yes.
But that's just because somebody doesn't want him. Just like all of a sudden, J.J. McCarthy comes from a second round to being number four. Somebody's out there throwing everybody a bone saying, hey, he's this good. We don't know that.
No, we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure with any of these guys. We really don't. Caleb Williams included. So I thought that was worth discussing, though, of like looking at Michael Porter Jr., looking at the risks that the Nuggets. Now this is why it's not close to a perfect analogy, because if you missed on Michael Porter Jr. completely, and say the guy never played NBA basketball,
yeah,
his first year he didn't play a play. He didn't play a possession. It was like a redshirt year at the pro level. If it never worked out, you still had Jokic. You still had Jamal. This situation, it's more dire. It's more dire. And it'd be like if you wanted Michael Porter Jr. to be a true franchise player. He's not that. He's not. He's not. He's a good fit here. You're hoping this guy you pick at 12 is a franchise player that's going to touch the football every single play. So I understand it's not a perfect analogy, but at the same time,
how can you say he's not a franchise player when we don't know?
What Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about MPJ. You're getting me mixed up.
Yeah, the other MPJ.
But even with Michael Porter Jr., you know, like it's scary to think if this man had never gotten hurt, if he got to play in college and develop a little bit more before he got to the NBA, he would have never fallen to the
Denver Nuggets.
Who knows if he would have been a franchise player just because of what the upside was with a man that had never had an injury to start with.
Yeah. Well, we'll never know. We'll never know the answer to that question. We may find out the answer to the Michael Penix Jr. question, and I just wonder how real the prospect of this is. They had him at the facility on Wednesday, I think it was, and, you know, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for that as we continue to try to figure out who the heck is going to be playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos here in 2024. We're live from El Patio, Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. It is opening day, and the atmosphere is off the chain. But it's not like frat party crazy.
No.
I don't want to paint that picture. It is a great vibes day. Everyone is chill. There's still enough space for people to move around. It's not one of these like Times Square
everybody's
on New Year's Eve.
Everybody's having a good time, talking to each other, mingling. No fights. Nobody's drunk out their mind.
No,
this is a good time.
That comes later. The fighting and the drunk people.
That does come later. 6 o'clock.
Yeah. And I'll go live on Instagram with it.
Wait a minute, is that Zach Bine?
He's recording fights for World Star.
Oh, TMZ.
Oh, guys, we're going to be here until 6 o'clock. If you want to come say hello, grab some tacos, some drinks. They got the patio. It's fantastic. All right. Okay, shifting gears here. Our two title contenders in Denver sports are hopefully getting stars back this weekend. Who's more essential between Val Nichushkin and Jamal Murray to their team's success? And the other question, are we still banner or bust mode with both of our teams here in Denver? I want to have those conversations with Philip Lindsay coming up next.